Hello,
and welcome to the Coco Chronicles.
Yay! Black by popular demand.
As usual.
This is going to be episode 15. And
starting to lose count.
We are going to start doing seasons. So this is going to be the end of season one. And next episode will be the
beginning of season two,
episode one.
Yay!
So our last episode for the season. I am your hostess with the mostest, Coco Puff.
I am your co-host with almost the most, and super excited to see Infinity War when it comes out.
Yay! It's already out.
Marissa.
But we're going to see it.
Yeah.
Sunday. Be on the lookout on our YouTube channel. We will be
doing interviews and reactions of people who've also seen it, and our post-movie reactions. We'll try not to do spoilers. However,
if can't something be guaranteed. Slips, yeah, can't be
don't,
guaranteed.
Maybe just wait until you've seen it before you listen to the next one.
We will give you a heads up, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out our YouTube channel. Yeah, we mentioned that last episode, didn't we? That we had a YouTube channel?
Yes.
Okay, we did. Good. I'm like, Wait, did we even say that?
Our first episode is up, so we have gotten the ball rolling, and we're just going to continue rolling the ball.
Rolling the ball.
So,
as always, we have a plethora of interesting topics to be talking about. Yes. What are we talking about for this week's treat?
Yes, for the last week of National Food Month, we put it to a vote, and the country that we're featuring our treat from is France. France won the vote. So this week, I decided to make clafoutis. And it is a baked French dessert of fruit, traditionally black cherries, arranged in a buttered dish and covered with a thick flan-like batter. It's usually dusted with powdered sugar and served lukewarm, sometimes with cream. I did the clafoutis with apples and pear. That's like the next most common thing to do it with. And, you know, I don't like cherries, and I didn't want to have to like de-pit cherries. So a little bit of the history. Clafoutis comes from the Limousin region of France. And while black cherries are traditional, there are numerous variations, like the ones I did. The dish's name derives from Occitan clafoutis and from the verb clafir, meaning to fill, implied filling the batter with cherries. It was spread throughout France during the 19th century. What did you think of this fruitcake, technically?
Fruitcake! It was very, very delicious. The piece that I had, I like apples and I like pears, and it wasn't overly sweet. The thing with me and sweets is that sometimes it can be too rich and too sweet. Turns me off. So this one was sweet and subtle, subtly sweet.
Yes.
The crust was nice and crusty. The way I like my crust.
And that's
nice and crusty.
The thing that confuses me about the description of it is it says it's a flan-like pastry, but it didn't taste like any flan I've ever had. It was more cakey. It was still a little creamier than a regular cake, but it was just a little cakey, and that was strange to me. I was expecting something with a little bit smoother texture than the outcome.
Well, did you like it?
I did. I did like it. I was afraid it was going to be too moist because, you know, working with fresh fruit.
Oh, yeah.
But it still turned out tasty. Yes.
So, for our movies,
yes,
we're going to be talking about the movie Coco.
No,
it is not a movie about me. I unfortunately don't have a movie about myself. But this movie, Coco, is a Pixar film with Disney. Yes. And it came out a few months. It came out earlier this year, I feel like.
No, it came out at the earliest sometime last year.
No way. Yes. It did not come out last year.
Yes, it did.
No way.
Yeah, we did.
It did. It came out November 22nd.
Yeah, I was about to say it came out at the end of last year. We did review this in another episode, but it was one of the lost episodes. So it was lost, and we felt that it was good enough
to review again.
Right, to have a re-review, because it was really enjoyable.
It was.
And you should see it. So a little, there might be a few spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
A little synopsis about this movie. It's about a young boy whose family has banned music.
The young boy's name is Miguel, by the
way. Yes, the young boy's name is Miguel. And then he has a passion for music, of course. So he, it's during, around the time that Day of the Dead takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And his family is honoring their dead except for their
great grandfather,
because he left the family to do music, and that's why music's banned in the family.
Yeah, he basically left his great-great-great-grandmother to take care of his great-great-grandmother, and his family's still salty about that. So because of their saltiness, nobody in the family is allowed to play music or listen to music or anything. They just completely shut off music.
Which I think isn't fair.
It's not fair, but you know how families be.
Yeah.
Families aren't fair.
Yeah. So, Miguel really idolizes this great guitarist. What was his name?
What was his name? His name was like, what was his name? Ernesto de la Cruz.
Ernesto de la Cruz. That is the one he, you know, he admires him. He's like the best guitarist around.
He's well known in the community. Right. He's like worshipped.
Yeah, he's got like the most love out of anyone in the community.
This is taking place in Mexico, by the way.
Yes.
All of this is taking place in Mexico.
So Miguel wants to enter this music competition. He turns his grandmother destroys his guitar. It turns out he thinks that Ernesto de la Cruz is his great 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 grandfather. Goes to take his guitar and then gets swept up into the world of the dead and goes on this adventure to try and get back to his world.
Mm-hmm.
And
whilst also trying to meet Ernesto de la Cruz because he thinks he
has
is
to send him back.
His relative.
Right. So it's a really good movie.
It is.
It's a really emotional movie. And it has a lot of important
themes,
yes, about, you know, family and preserving your family's memory.
Right, yeah,
and
staying true to yourself.
Right.
Not giving up on your dreams.
Right.
You know, the typical Disney morals. But this one's different. This one's different because there's never really been a Disney movie about Latin
culture,
heritage.
Yeah.
We've got,
we don't really have Native American.
No. We've got Pocahontas.
Right.
We've got Tiana, but that doesn't really go into African heritage.
Right.
So maybe they'll do something with an African princess.
Nice. Shuri.
Well, Shuri, yeah.
Right.
Shuri does count. But a cartoon. No.
Right.
An animated
feature.
African princess. But we've got Moana.
Moana.
Who is the Polynesian
princess. Yes, indeed.
But we don't really have a Latin princess.
Right.
So it was nice that they made a movie that paid homage to Latin America.
Yeah, and they did go into a lot of detail with a lot of customs and
traditional wear.
And traditions that take place during the Day of the Dead.
Right.
And honoring your family. And I thought that was really neat.
It was. Like I said, they did really good with this movie. This movie also had an all-Latin voice cast.
Yes.
So everybody in this film was of
Latin
heritage.
Yeah.
So they really did a really good job of this movie. We can't really talk too much about it just because we don't want to give
away
too much.
Yes. We realize in the past we've given away a lot of plot for movies, and that's not what we want to do.
No.
We want to review them.
We don't want to talk about the whole movie. We
want
to give a little synopsis review and let you
decide.
Yeah, you be the judge.
One of the things that I did really like about this movie, the storyline was great, but another thing I really liked was the use of color in this
movie. Oh, yeah, it's so vibrant.
It's very vibrant. Like, the human world is, you know, it's colorful, but it's got a lot of earth tones and neutrals and pops of color, like red and things like that. And when you go into the land of the dead, it is so bright and gorgeous and vibrant and bustling and
It's light. Like freaking New York City.
Right.
Like, everything is like, people are loud and dancing and singing. They have parties in the Day of the Dead. Like, people getting lit and turned up in the afterlife. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, like, I don't know if I necessarily believe in the afterlife, but if there was an afterlife, this is the one I would want to be a part of.
But because I guess
everybody would sound so much fun.
I wouldn't, unless I had people to remember, because I don't plan on having kids.
Oh, so you're
going to remember?
Because I don't know if we want to, do you want
to
give?
Well, I do just a little, because just a little. I want to contrast it to the part of the Land the of the Dead stuff. Where there are people there who don't have a lot of people to remember them. And there's this little section that they're relegated to. And it's compared to the active part of the Land of the Dead, where the remembered are, it is so dark and sad and depressing.
Completely.
And these
opposite.
People are like clinging on to the afterlife because they don't have a lot of people to remember them. And that kind of determines how well off you are in this afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's the same as real life. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like there's the poverty stricken, and then there's the
the middle class.
Middle class, right? Just like the real world.
They did a really good job with that. Yeah, they did really well with, you know, hitting home how depressing it is not to be remembered, and how, you know, these people must feel in their afterlife because either they're about to fade away because no one remembers them, or only one, you know, one person remembers them and not very well, or their stories aren't being passed down.
So they're still living lonely, sad lives.
It made me want to be,
even when they're dead.
Like, maybe I haven't appreciated my family as much. I didn't really get to know my grandmother on my dad's side. I don't really know a lot of stories about her. I hear I'm a lot like her and that I look like her, but you know, I couldn't tell somebody, oh, you know, she used to do this, or she used to say that, or I know she used to smoke, but I feel like that's not really a story
right.
to pass on.
Right, yeah.
So it kind of made me take stock of the fact that I don't really know a lot about my ancestors, my predecessors, and my family.
Right. Same. And it's sad because what I said in the Lost episode, it's, to me, I feel like the worst thing in the world is to be forgotten. That's like the worst. It's just almost as if you didn't exist
in the first place.
Yeah,
right.
That's just the ultimate like slap in the face to be forgotten by
you were
even
so
your family.
Unimportant,
right?
That nobody cared.
That nobody.
Who you were.
Your life was so irrelevant.
Pass on your accomplishments if you had any. So
yeah, it's pretty
It makes me want to do more, be more present, so that I do have a legacy. I want to have a, you know, a good legacy to pass on that doesn't involve having children.
Anything but having children.
I'm just not a fan of having children. Children are great.
I'd love to babysit.
Yeah, then I can return them.
Yeah,
but
return to sender for those kids. But once you have them, that's it. They're permanent.
Yeah.
So, out of 5 stars, what would you give Coco?
I would give Coco... a solid 4.7, because it had a plot twist in there that...
Ooh, that plot twist
I was not expecting. Like, I...
Gold.
I kind of figured it out, but I didn't figure out how it all worked
together.
And when they tell you, I was like... what?
Gasp.
Oh, no! So it was really good. It was really well done.
Yeah. I'm going to give it also a 4.7 because, again, nothing's perfect, but this movie was damn near close to it.
Like, really well done. It gave you a lot of information without overwhelming you. The story was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It had active moments and quiet moments so that you weren't, like, trying to pay attention to everything at once all of the time.
Right.
And, you know, that's stressful. And it was good. There was character development. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Same.
Yeah.
So that was our movie Coco.
Coco.
Yes. All right. So on to the
next.
So for our new segment called Unsolved Mysteries, or is it just Unsolved?
Either way.
For this week, we're going to be talking about this case that I heard about when I was young, and it just stuck with me till now because it never really has been solved.
Yeah.
And it's just so tragic. Maybe you've heard of it. It's the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Yes.
The case of the, I think she was six. Six-year-old beauty pageant star who was killed.
Right.
And in her own home. Mm-hmm. And nobody found out who did it. Or why.
Right. She was born in 1990. In Georgia, and they moved to Colorado. That's where she was found murdered. It was their home in Boulder, Colorado, and it was one of the most publicized police investigations in the 90s, which I'd heard of it, but I didn't really
know what happened.
Yeah, I recognized the name, but not the case, and It's been unsolved for nearly 20 years. Who killed this girl in 96? In 2008, there was some new DNA technology that exonerated her family from any involvement in her murder. However, in 2016, evidence suggests that the DNA evidence was actually a mixture of DNA, and more testing had to be done. So no one has been charged for her murder in like 20 years.
Yeah, man. It's been a minute.
Right, it's crazy.
It's been several minutes.
It's sad. She was the youngest of two children, Southern girl, loved the spotlight, so beauty pageants were perfect for her. And she'd already had 5 pageantry titles by the time she had turned 6. Her father was a multimillionaire businessman, and her mother was a former beauty queen, so that's where she got it from. And of course, you know, they doted on her, and they treated her well, and she lived a charmed life for the short life that she did live. But on the morning of December 26, 1966, her mother, Patsy Ramsey, called the police after finding a 3-page ransom note demanding $118,000 for her daughter's safe return. The girl's body, however, was discovered in the basement later that afternoon. Her skull had been fractured, and she had been sexually assaulted, and she was strangled with a garrote made from her mother's paintbrushes. According to the coroner's report, her official cause of death was asphyxiation by strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma, and her death was classified as a homicide.
Wow.
Yes. The crime scene was compromised because the father brought her body upstairs instead of leaving her in the basement.
After she was dead,
he touched her body. I mean, I don't know if he didn't know this was a different time. The parents also were not interviewed separately. They were interviewed together. So if they were hiding something, they could have corroborated each other's story and made it up on the spot. For the next 4 years after the murder, the investigation came up short with the Ramseys themselves as the lead suspects. And though the evidence was circumstantial, it made the Ramseys appear guilty in the eye of the public. The ransom note was extremely long, cryptic, unusually specific, written on paper belonging to the Ramseys. Fiber found on the duct tape used to bind the child was consistent with that found in Patsy's clothing, and there were inconsistencies in their story, and the Ramseys appeared blameworthy in many media interviews. But they were found not guilty. They didn't have any files charged against them, and That was
just,
it. Her mom died a few years later.
Oh, really?
Of ovarian cancer.
Oh, damn. Her dad's still alive, though, right?
Yes, but he claims he lost his entire family fortune.
I bet.
And her brother made an appearance on Dr. Phil after 20 years.
What?
Yeah, so it's just... It is a weird case. To be honest, I would have thought that someone in the family was guilty too. However, not necessarily the parents, because it could have been someone close to the family. Why else would the note be extremely specific?
That's true.
It could have been someone was stalking this poor girl.
That's true as well.
And, you know, broke into their house.
Broke into their house.
I'm sure it wasn't, and I hate to say it,
but
it could have been her older brother.
That's what people were saying. The theories were that people were saying it was her older brother who killed.
Yeah.
Killed her.
He might have been jealous of all the attention she was getting. Yep. And
you know, white kids are crazy.
Well, I'll get to that after this story, because there's but you know, he obviously has access to the home. He would, you know, his sister would trust him to, like, go somewhere with him or whatever. It would make sense why some of their mother's clothing fibers would be in there, depending on where he got the tape from. What doesn't add up for me is, you know, for that theory, is the sexual abuse and the cranial trauma. He could have been a fucked up kid and done some gross shit to his sister.
Right, that's true.
But I don't think that a young boy, unless he was, like, really strong for his age and pumped up on adrenaline, could cause, you know, that kind of trauma to a person's skull. Now, she was 6, so her bones aren't as strong as an adult's, which make them easier to break. But I just feel like that's really aggressive. And I don't know. I just would hate to think that someone in her family did that. But to me, that's the only logical answer.
I was
going to
say, I honestly think it was somebody in her family.
Yeah.
I do. It could have been mom. It could have been dad.
Probably wanted some
money. Yep.
I don't, but that's the thing. It doesn't make sense for it to be, unless they're just trying to cover their tracks by asking.
That's
for
what,
somebody.
And that's what people were saying also, is that they needed to make up some excuse. So that's why they did this ransom. A lot of people do that.
But why would you want to kill your star child? You can win pageants. You can
people
win money
are crazy.
At pageants.
People are crazy. I don't put anything past anybody. People kill people
for any reason.
For the dumbest reasons.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised at all if her parents.
But maybe, you know, maybe they were tired of spending all that money.
Yeah, maybe they were just tired. They just wanted to get rid of it and rid of the problem. They're probably stressed the hell out.
Yeah.
That beauty pageant world is
crazy.
Crazy as hell.
I would never want to do something like that.
Yeah.
It's just so stressful.
It's too much. It's just too much.
The expectations. And she's 6. And they probably expected perfection from her. She was probably wearing makeup and heels and
mm-hmm.
having to do, you know, special talents. And right. I'm like, you shouldn't be. Children shouldn't be judged that early. You know, we should be trying not to judge people, especially not on something so superficial as their looks. She's 6.
She
look like anything.
Still,
but
what is considered a toddler?
She's not a toddler at the age of 6.
But what is considered a toddler?
I'm pretty sure it's like from 2 to 4 or 5.
So she wasn't that much older
right.
than a toddler wearing
right.
makeup
she,
and heels.
Yep.
And exploiting herself. We should talk about that in another episode, the pageant world, and putting your children
on display
for pedophiles. Seriously.
I would hope pedophiles aren't judging these competitions. I'm sure they do rigorous background checks, but I'm sure one slips through occasionally.
Occasionally.
And that's, you know, disturbing to think about. And sometimes isn't the audience public? Like, what if there are just weirdos?
I was going to say, there's got to be people that come here and stalk these kids and do, like, child pornography and
right.
stuff like that.
What if it was someone who was stalking your child. If she's that well known in the beauty pageant world, there might have been some creep out there who was like, oh, my, you know, my little princess, my little beauty queen, and was a freak and wanted to do some freaky shit with her. And she resisted, and that's how she ended up being killed. You know, he probably did want money, and he probably did want to do gross things to her, but I don't think he wanted to kill her. I'm sure it was an accidental death. Broke into her house or some shit, and... But why was she there alone? Like, why did they not know where their daughter was? Why would you leave a 6-year-old
child alone? They probably could say that her older brother was there watching her.
Yeah, and if he went somewhere to take a nap or whatever, you know, older kids don't really want to watch their siblings.
Of course not.
If he could have just stopped paying attention for a little bit, that's all it would take. It only takes a second. That 1 second you stop looking at your kid, next thing you know, they're gone. You hear it all the time. Well, I saw him playing on the swings, and I looked down on my phone for just a minute, or I looked in my purse to get something for just a minute.
And then that just a minute.
And I looked back up, and they were gone.
That's all it takes. It's just not even a minute, a second.
A second, yeah.
And that's it.
You could be looking down for 10 seconds, and you look back up, and your kid is gone. Happens all the time.
All it takes. That's all it takes.
Yeah. So.
So, I just.
I don't trust humans.
A lot of people ask me, why are you so, like, standoffish? It's like, because I don't trust anybody.
You could be crazy.
You could be crazy.
You could be crazy and not know it. I don't know how close you are to breaking and becoming a murderer or a rapist or, you know, harming someone. Oh, I would never do something like that. You haven't been put in any possible situation.
You haven't snapped.
You don't know.
There are.
Theoretically, what you would do.
Snapping moments.
Well, you don't know actually what you would do. I'm sure not a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for the chance to get to kill somebody. Yeah, there are people out there like that, but not the majority of us. But if you're put in a certain situation or enough stuff happens to you, then you don't know what you would do. Yep. You don't know if you would break. You don't know if you have a personality that wakes up when you go to sleep and does shit while you're knocked out. Like, you don't know. That might be why you're always tired when you wake up in the morning. You're running out in the middle of the night. You're only actually getting 2 hours of sleep because your other personality's murdering people, like Jack the Ripper style. Who knows?
Jack the Ripper. You never know.
You never know.
Point is, you never
know. And that's scary.
And they always say it's the people, like when people are murdered, they always go to the people who are closest to them.
Mm-hmm.
They always go to husband or wife or girlfriend, boyfriend,
parents,
family member.
Siblings.
So it's always the people who are closest to you
that
will hurt you. That's not always true, but...
It's true a lot of the time. It is true a lot
Nine
of the times
time. Out of ten,
There's usually some kind of personal connection. You definitely gotta treat your...
Sorry about that.
Wow, that's...
Pretty loud.
Wild. I don't even know
pretty
what
loud.
That was or where that was coming from.
I think it came from the computer.
That's freaky.
That's weird. Well, sorry about that.
Oh, well. But yeah, that's the Jemaine Ramsey case. What do you think about it? Who do you think did it? Did you know about it? Were you even alive when it happened?
That's the more important question. Were you alive?
I was 4 when it happened. So I didn't know anything about it. Mm. I'm sure it made my parents want to keep a closer eye. Especially on me, because I'm the only girl and I was the youngest, and I wasn't a beauty pageant child, but people are crazy. So I'm sure it made my parents, or a lot of people's parents, watch their kids a little bit more closely.
Agreed. Agreed.
So,
next topic is current events.
Yes. Oh, wait.
Before we get to that.
When we were talking about kids being crazy.
Oh, here we go.
I was talking to my father the other day on the phone, and he informed me that a boy in Ohio, he went into his grandfather's room where he keeps his gun, dismantled the case in which the gun was kept because he couldn't unlock it.
The case.
Took the gun out, reassembled the case so no one would know that the gun was missing, and waited for his parents to leave. They called a babysitter to watch them. He got alone with his 11-year-old brother and shot him. This boy was 13, and he committed premeditated murder after the police had already been called because he threatened to commit suicide. I just don't understand. He was 13. What could your brother possibly have done that was so horrible that made you think, you know what? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to come up with a way to get the means to murder my brother, and I'm going to do it when my parents aren't around. I'm just going to do it. What kind of sociopath at age 13? What trauma?
How did he know how to
dismantle
a gun?
That's what I'm saying here. The case that the gun was in.
How did he know to do that?
How did he know where to get the tools? How did he know how to use the gun? Why was the gun loaded? Why wasn't the babysitter watching both of them like a babysitter should be doing?
Oh, babysitters ain't shit, so I'm not surprised about that one.
Well, you just said you would babysit children, so.
Well, I'm not shit.
There you go.
There's the answer to that.
I just don't understand. I just can't comprehend what goes through a 13-year-old's mind to want to commit murder. Like, is you always just being crazy?
Probably.
And watch, he's probably not going to get tried as an adult.
Of course not.
He'll probably get juvenile detention time, but do they still do that?
They do, yeah. They're still juvie. Juvie's still a thing.
But I feel like he should get life. He committed murder. He murdered his family. It was premeditated murder. I feel like he should spend the rest of his life incarcerated.
Really, Marissa?
That's what you would do for an adult. What, you pity him because
he's a child? I don't pity him at all. Fuck that. But I don't think that he should get life. Maybe
a murderer should get life in jail. I don't support.
What if you murdered someone because of self-defense?
That's self-defense.
Then don't say a murderer. Say a murderer in certain circumstances.
Right. But if you have... He committed premeditated murder. I think he should get life in jail. He took a life. He's crazy. He's 13. Who knows what else he's capable of doing? I'm sure his parents didn't think he was capable of doing that.
Probably not.
Who knows what he'll grow up to be? Now, I wish jail was more like, you know, like Swedish jails where it's kind of a rehabilitation thing. They teach you and they try to improve you and, you know, make you fit to return to society. You're not just in jail doing your time, becoming a worse person in some cases. I know some jails do have education opportunities, but a lot of them don't care about their inmates. So I don't think it would be fair to say, okay, you're sentenced to this specific amount of time, do your time, and get out. What if he gets crazier in jail? What if he kills 10 people next time when he's let out of whatever slap on the wrist that they're probably going to give him?
You think they're going to give him a slap on the wrist?
A lot of people have moral conflict with punishing children on this scale. A lot of people are going to have, like, a mental war with themselves because he committed murder, but he's only 13.
He didn't know what he was doing.
He dismantled the case and put it back together.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
He planned this.
It'd be a different story if he was, you know, oh, I'm playing with the gun.
Right,
I want to see what happened.
Thought it wasn't
Boom!
Loaded, or
and killed.
It was a toy. Right, but, and that happens.
And that does happen. That has happened.
They find the gun because it's in an unlocked drawer because why?
Parents are idiots.
But they find the gun and, you know, they're playing cops and robbers. And next thing you know, one of them shoots the other one or they shoot themselves. And
that's
it was
the
an accident. Then, of course, I don't think that child should go to jail. It was an accident.
Accidents are different.
They didn't do it, and they genuinely regret what they've done. That should fall on the parents for punishment, for not locking up
the parents. You know what? They should do that. They should do that. The parents should start being charged for leaving weapons around that their children can have access to. I completely agree with that.
Because, you know, some kids don't know better. Some kids don't even know their parents have a gun.
Right. Like, they don't know what a gun is. They don't know what
it looks like. Right. And they're like, cool toy, because toy guns are a thing. So they think, oh, cool toy. Which, we need to stop marketing weapons as toys.
We do.
Number one. Because people don't take them seriously anymore because they don't have that connection of this is a deadly weapon. They're like, oh, this is, I can wave this around. This is a toy. I can use this however I want. You know, it's not cool. It's not good.
It's not.
We're giving the wrong message when it comes to weapons. Now, I get a Nerf gun or something. That doesn't look like a real gun. It shoots.
A Nerf, yeah, a Nerf is different.
You have to pump it to do it.
Yeah, that's different. That's different.
That's different, like an airsoft or whatever. But, like, BB guns and toy guns that actually look like guns, it desensitizes people to the idea of playing with guns. It becomes a plaything instead of something that could take someone's life or fatally injure someone. That might be why we're having so many shootings. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I'm like, that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
It's literally crazy.
I can't. It does not compute. 404 error, page not found.
Oh my God.
I just don't get it. But
amazing.
I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Yeah, we had to talk about that real quick because
it's
it's absurd.
But Trump Kanye.
Oh yeah, next to our current events. Trump Kanye. I had seen some stuff about this, but Marista is going to go more in detail about this bullshit.
So, recently, the leader of the free world, Donald Trump, on Friday thanked the icon Kanye West for his great service to the black community, end quote, after Kanye risked condemnation from fellow artists and other celebrities by publicly praising Trump. Trump tweeted, Kanye West has performed a great service to the black community. Big things are happening, and eyes are being opened for the first time in decades. Legacy stuff. Thank you also to Chance the Rapper and Daryl Scott. The reason he's thanking Chance the Rapper is because he said, he tweeted, black people don't have to be Democrats, which is true. You don't have to be a Democrat. You don't have to be a Republican. You could be independent. I think the point he was trying to make is the same point that I would make for the other party, is just because you're used to this party, just because your family is part of this party, doesn't mean you have to be this party, and it doesn't mean you have to vote in the party. Even if you identify as Democrat, you can vote Republican, vice versa, vote independent. It shouldn't be defined simply by your race, because it is a stereotype that a lot of black people are Democrats. Kanye, recently, you know, put up pictures of him wearing a MAGA hat, a Make America Great Again hat, and signed.
Oh my God, you know, I can't.
He said that both he and the president share a dragon energy, and they're brothers, and that, he doesn't agree with everything anyone does, but that's what makes us individuals, and we have the right to independent thought. True. You know, you have the right to think what you want and do what you want, but I feel like the cap on that is as long as it's not hurting anybody. People are pretty sure that he only added in the bit about not supporting what Trump does at his wife Kim's behest. To make him not seem like a complete idiot in his pro-Trump tweet storm. I don't know. Who was it? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Kanye. A lot of people...
That's a good answer. I don't know.
Have this conspiracy theory that Kanye is a clone. That's not the real Kanye. Kanye got replaced. And this is what we have now.
The aliens.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's an icon and people follow him and they're trying to manipulate the way people do things and view things and society and all sorts of nonsense. Maybe. I mean, if we can clone lambs and goats and shit, I'm sure they know how to clone people, and it's just not been exposed to the general public, because with cloning, there's the theory that technically you could be immortal. You could clone yourself, start over from a baby. There's that theory. Yep, there's that theory.
Okay, so if it's the theory, how is it possible?
What do you mean?
Like, how can you
clone yourself?
Yeah.
I'm not a scientist.
Well, shit.
You would take your, you know, your genes and your DNA and replicate it.
How do you get your genes?
If you swab the inside of your mouth, you have your DNA. If you take a hair off of your head.
So genes are in DNA.
Yes. Your genetic code or your genetic code and your DNA are together, and that shit's in, like, your, you know, your blood and
You weren't a scientist.
I'm not. I'm just well informed.
Yeah.
At least I like to pretend like
I'm well-informed. I always call her Hermione. She's Hermione. Yeah. She's the black Hermione.
Little does she know, I'm actually Ron Weasley.
Dun dun. Dun 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 dun. Oh my god.
I don't
want to talk about
it. For the longest time,
I'm so annoyed. It's just so stupid.
For the longest time, I never even like paid attention to Kanye or Trump, to be quite honest. Before this election crap, I don't care about Trump. He's a celebrity TV host and a businessman, and you know, someone was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I don't care about Trump, but now that it's in my face, I'm not surprised that society's going down the fucking toilet. Because if this is the stuff that people do when they have power and they can get away with it, I don't know if I want to live in that world.
No, I don't think anybody does.
It's distressing. Kanye, the real Kanye, if you're out there.
You're so sick.
Escape, break free.
I'm dead.
Expose the clone. Fix this shit.
Fix it. Fix it now.
Because that clone is making you look like a clown. And you don't want that to be your legacy. You don't want your friend to have pictures of Donald Trump on it. You don't want to be celebrated during the Day of the Dead with Donald Trump.
I'm over it. I'm so over these idiots.
Yeah.
Just so over
it. It really is a circus. You know, they call it the political circus. Not for that reason, but recently it really is a circus now. It is a political circus. It's a bunch of clowns and fools running around.
Acting like a bunch of buffoons.
Acting like a bunch of damn fools. And part of me is like, well, if you think you could do better, do it. And I do think I could do better. However, I don't want to be a politician.
No, hell no. You kidding?
I
don't want to do that shit.
I don't want to go through that. I feel like I could be a successful politician. And I don't know what that says about my character. But I don't want to. I don't want to be in that nonsense. And it changes you as a person. I'm pretty sure some people start out wholesome and they want to do all these things and they really are good people, and then
it's cutthroat.
They get caught up in all of the scandal and the issues and some of the shit that you actually have to do to get elected, and it just ruins them, and it continues to be this downward spiral of nonsense and pain for the general public
and suffering. Yeah, I'm over it. I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it. So, I just want to mention this really, really quickly because I thought it was super cute. I showed you what it was, but I was looking on Facebook one day, and I saw Kim Possible.
Kim Possible.
And they made a little video. It was cute. They made a video that with Christy Carlson Romano herself and Will Friedle.
If you don't know who they are,
they voiced Kim Possible and Ron.
Right. Ron
the original. So when I saw the video and I saw them come in, I'm like, that can't be that. That can't be that.
Girl, her face is not
changed. It's not changed. She's aging very, very
flawless.
Well.
Flawless. Skin is smooth.
But they came in and they were like doing the skit. I was like, oh shit, it really is them.
Yeah, because he started doing the Ron stuff.
Oh yeah, it sounded just like him. I got it. Very rarely do things make me smile and make me genuinely happy. Because I'm a black-hearted, soulless individual. But when I saw this, I was smiling the whole time through. I was like, it was so cute.
And it,
like my childhood.
It throws you back, right?
Immediately when I saw it, I was like, call me, beat me, if you want to reach me.
What I don't understand is, in the video, they brought a baby with them. Like, are they actually together?
No,
they had a baby. Okay, I was about to say, why do they bring a baby with them? Does she have children? Does one of them have children?
They probably both have fucking children, but...
Girl, I was surprised she still looked that good. She still fit.
I was going to say, again, she's just aging flawlessly.
Doing it.
You know... White people very rarely age really nicely. The only people I think who age really nicely are blacks and Asians. But I know she's got to be in her like mid-30s.
She's got
early
30s. I was going to say early 30s.
She's not that much older than us, I don't think.
Which puts our Asian perspective.
I know, that's why I looked at you like that. Oh, I wish you could see our faces. Because damn, we both look at each other like, oh my God.
Early 30s?
We're not there yet.
And besides, that's not old anyway.
That's not old, but...
That's not even half of what I expect my life expectancy to be, so...
So, but still. 30s?
30s. Yeah. Damn. Almost 3 decades.
Almost 3 decades.
Watch her be in her late 20s.
Right. She's gonna be like, fucking...
Jerks.
19. And we're gonna be like, damn, what the
She's
fuck?
She's not 19.
She started voicing
if
Kim Possible when she was 2 years old.
20s. She's probably.
Oh, I forgot about Shia LaBeouf. All of those people, Raven and Hillary Duff, they're all in like their early 30s. So
she still looks good too.
Yeah, she does. She looks better actually.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And she has a kid. He's really cute.
He is. What's his name? Luca.
Sorry, we're rambling.
Sorry.
But yeah, if you can go look up
that video.
That video. Christy Carlson Romano and Will Friedle are reenacting. They're Kim Possible.
They're auditioning for the new
auditioning for the movie. That's right, because there is a Kim Possible movie. Yes. So they were auditioning, but at the end, actually, you know what? I'm not going to give away the end.
Yeah,
I'm not going to give away the end. Yeah. Just watch the video. It's really cute. Try to look it up if you can.
And if you did not grow up with Kim Possible,
you
find it online.
Have been living under
series.
A rock.
Well, what if they're like 15? They don't.
Oh, I forgot about people who are younger than us.
Yes, people who are younger than us are not going to be super familiar with Kim Possible. This is for us. This is for people who like us who grew up with it. You know what I mean? It's like those memes where people are like, when Incredibles 2 comes out, leave your kids at home because this movie is not for them. It's for all of us, you know, Disney fans who watch the original Incredibles and love it and have been begging for a second movie and finally get to get it. Keep your kids at home. It's not for them. It's not.
It's, yeah.
You can get it on DVD and Blu-ray and watch it at home with your children.
Agreed, though.
I don't want your kid crying in the middle of a scene in The Incredibles 2. Genuinely.
I might have to... choke the baby. I might have to consider choking a child.
Stop it.
This freaking hilarious, I think you tagged me in it. There's this hilarious meme of this black guy and he's looking at the camera and what am I trying to think of? The caption's like, I'm going to see Incredibles 2 and don't look at me funny or, what was,
right.
I think you tagged me and the black guy's looking and he's looking at the camera like, bitch, what?
Right.
I'm in this movie theater, I'm on my mid-20s and I'm watching this animated film.
Right,
I'm
in my mid-20s to mid-30s watching this animated feature by myself.
Say something.
Fight me about it.
Do something about it.
Oh, where are your children?
I don't
in
have
my uterus, because I don't have
They're imaginary. Okay. They're going to take up both seats beside me, so don't
say the only reason you brought your children is so that you wouldn't feel bad about going to see a kid's movie.
Don't you really wanted to see it.
Right, you wanted
don't
to see
it. Don't use your children.
This is not for your kids, and you know it. You know this.
It was hilarious. But yeah, I'm gonna see this movie.
I'm so excited.
Which, okay, again, rambling and jumping around.
Have you seen the first Incredibles?
No, I haven't. We're not gonna get into that. I knew you were gonna bring that up, but we're not gonna get into that. I'm going to mention something that's similar to the Kim Possible thing. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen Zoey 101.
Oh my god.
But I don't know if you've even seen it, but you know what I'm talking about? Yes. There's this video. It was made like 2 or 3 years ago, but it's where Chase has met this girl and he's about to propose marriage, but then he sees Michael, and Michael comes back and he's like, "Dude, like, I showed Zoe, or no, I found the DVD that Zoe buried in the time capsule, and this is what she said about you, because for those of you who remember." In, like, season 1 or 2, they buried personal items in the time capsule at their school. And Zoe said something about Chase, but Chase was so desperate to know what she said about him because she wanted to know if...
Dug up the time capsule.
He dug... No, well, actually, Michael did. Mm. But, well, okay. In the actual show, Chase was so obsessed with finding out if Zoe liked him and what she said about him on her video that he got Michael to go and bury... Or dig up the time capsule. But then when they got back to their dorm room... Chase was like, "Michael, is this wrong? Like, should we have done this?"
Right.
And Michael's like, "I mean, you have to answer that. You know the answer."
Right. If you're asking.
If you're asking, you know. So he went back and buried it again and didn't watch it because of his conscience. But 20 years later, not 20 years, it hadn't been 20 years, but like 10 years. Yeah, it was 10 years. 10 years later, Michael was like, "Dude, I went and I looked up the DVD because Zoe said in 10 years,
we're going to dig it up
and you're going to see it." So he dug it up and he showed it to Chase. And Chase's girlfriend was like, excuse me, but you were about to ask me something.
Right.
She knew that he was going to ask.
She was waiting.
And so he just ended up saying, like, "Oh, you know what? No, I was settling."
Oh, my God.
No, well, he didn't say that, but he said it without saying it.
Yeah.
He was like, "I settled for you, but now that I know Zoe, how she feels about me, I'm going to go find Zoe."
It's been 10 years later. What if she's already married?
He doesn't.
Because you're slow.
He doesn't care.
Because you can't figure
and
out.
And now people are like, dude. Where's the next video? And people, I'm sure, like, people were blowing up her.
Where's
like,
Jamie Lynn Spears'
like, Instagram, like, "Did you see the video? Are you going to be in the next one? Blah, blah, blah. What do you have to say?" And she didn't respond at all.
She hasn't been
in
the public eye a lot.
No, she didn't. Well, she has an Instagram, and she has a kid. Yeah. And she still does music, but she didn't respond to that video at all. Like, people were, like, waiting for her to be like, "Yeah, I saw it. It was hilarious," or something, and she just didn't say anything
about
it.
She might not know.
Completely.
She might not have known that they did it.
There's no way. There's just no way.
And
there's no way.
What
she
if
knew
she
about
just
it.
Doesn't want to be a part of
and
it.
She, yeah, she or probably just is over it.
What if
she got a lot of
she
shit
wants it to
for,
be a surprise?
That's true. She also might not be able to say anything.
Right. If she's
or
contractually obligated
she might
to be
just
quiet
be
about
over it.
It
because, like I said, she got a lot of shit for getting pregnant while she was. Filming the show when she was 16, so maybe she's just like, "You know what, this is my past, I don't want to deal with this anymore, I'm over it, and this is, the past is in the past, and I'm moving on to bigger and better things."
I feel like
so
it would
who
be
really
great
knows
if they did do it, and like she had a kid
if they had
two, but
yeah,
she still ends up
yeah.
with, that would be nice.
It would be nice if they had the game, the whole, no, I mean the whole, like Dana, the little Latin girl from the beginning, and Nicole, and everybody, because they kicked off
she
a few people from the show.
Fucking names.
Yeah, oh, girl. When I tell you I was obsessed with Zoey 101, I almost convinced my mom to get me into a boarding school because I wanted to go to a boarding school because I thought it would be just as it was on Zoey 101. I remember my mom telling me, "Dude, I'm not sending you to a boarding school because you watch a damn TV show."
I
was crazy.
I wanted to go to a boarding school.
I was crazy.
Because I watched Harry Potter.
Well,
but
see, I'm not. Oh, I don't feel so bad. I don't feel so bad now. I don't feel so bad. It just goes to show the influence that these damn
that
shows have.
And
entertainment
have
in general
things.
Have.
Yes.
Just shit's crazy. We've rambled long enough. So we're going to be wrapping it up. Make sure you do go check out our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Make sure you like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. The YouTube channel is, you can search it in the YouTube search bar, CUHMENAH, Kamina, because that's my real name, Kamina, and I put the YouTube under my name.
Yes.
So CUHMENAH is what you can search in the search bar on YouTube, and you'll find a link to our channel, The Coco Chronicles.
Yeah.
So go check out our YouTube video. We only have one now, but we will be uploading more weekly. Again, you can find us on Facebook at Coco Chronicles. The Coco Chronicles.
The Coco Chronicles podcast.
I always get so mixed up with all these different names.
I know.
It's just freaking crazy.
We need to like
get it's Coco license. Chronicles podcast, yes. Okay. And then on Instagram, it is The Coco Chronicles. If I am not mistaken, this is terrible. We don't even know.
Chronicles.
No, it's the Coco Chronicles on Instagram. On Twitter, at us at Chronicles Coco, if anybody still uses Twitter.
Let's Trump just be honest. And Kanye do.
Oh, yeah. Well, those two idiots. That's to be expected. And then if you have any questions or inquiries or anything, send us an email at cocochroniclespodcast@gmail.com. Oh, yeah. So smooth jazz.
Kool-Aid Man. I was thinking of the Kool-Aid Man when I said
of course you were. Of course you were. So I'm gonna be signing off now in this smooth, chocolatey voice. This is your hostess with the most.
Not the jazz episode of Teen Titans.
Oh my
god. The heavy metal episode.
Heavy metal. Anyway, this is your girl Coco signing off. Yeah.
Smooth as cocoa butter.
Smooth as that
this
cocoa
is
butter.
Marista signing off.
Signing off. Till next time, guys.